Catherine, foreclosures, what's going on in that way? You know, 3 million Americans, homes were foreclosed in 2009. Is that going to be higher in 2010 or lower?
It's going to be higher.
Oh.
It's going to be higher. One, there's sort of a shadow inventory that's been kept offline. You know, the banks have not been aggressive about foreclosing. The other thing, George, is what we've seen a wave of defaults in the subprime mortgage area. What we're coming into this year and next is the rollovers of what's called the option arms. And what we're going to start to see is the wave of foreclosures, defaults and foreclosures in the prime market, not the subprime, but the prime. One, because, of course, with all this unemployment and the drops in income, many people can't afford, we're not going to be able to afford the resets. Number one, when the interest rates change or the debt service changes.
Right.
But two, the homes are underwater.
Most of them are, aren't they?
Yeah, there are a lot that are underwater because a lot of these were issued just in the last couple of years, and so the prices have dropped a lot. So we have a great deal of inventory to work our way through. And then in addition, when you mentioned the possibility of a double dip recession, we have a lot of state and local budgets to balance this year, particularly in the summer. And so you're going to see a whole nother round of layoffs at the state and local level that are going to be very, very deep. So, and with the prime market running into defaults and more sort of rounds of layoff again, you're just going to see a real spiral. So I think the housing market has more to drop.
You know, some banks don't even want to foreclose. There's some people have been in their house now 8 or 9 months. They haven't made a payment.
Right. And I think we're going to see a surprising amount of that.
Their credit rating gets screwed up, no doubt, right?
Well, you know, every person's situation is different. But for many people, there is it makes an awful lot of sense to either take a foreclosure or fight it. I mean, the strategy of requiring the banks to produce the note is a very savvy one, and we've seen people win and literally stay in their homes and be relieved of some or all of the mortgage debt. So
yeah, explain that again.
Well, the different cases are different, and I'm not familiar with the details of what the judges are saying. But essentially, what you had during the heyday of the mortgage bubble was literally the actual note being transferred into the mortgage security, and the bank is trying to foreclose, can't find the note. Now, I happen to believe that some of it is the result of fraud. In other words, they literally put the same note in 10 different mortgage pools, and so. So, you know, they don't even own the note.
It's like somebody borrowing off a house 10 times.
Right.
Right? And not telling the other lender.
And so I think one of several very compelling legal arguments is just demand they produce the note. If you go to my blog and do a search for produce my note, the wonderful congresswoman from Ohio, Marcy Kaptur, literally stood up on the floor in Congress. She's an attorney and said, you know, stay in your house, make them produce the note. Do not leave, make them produce the note.
And if they can't.
And if they can't, there's a very good chance, you know, they can't foreclose. Now, what I'd love to see happen is a real group of lawyers come together and start to make cases for fraudulent inducement.
Who?
Because I think under the fraudulent inducement laws, many people do not owe, you know, are not liable for their mortgages.
So who have we been paying all along? The wrong people?
Well, you know.
Can you ask for a refund?
Well,
I've been paying you for 9 years.
That, but actually, if you can successfully assert fraudulent inducement, yes, you are owed a refund.
That is now, can you simply send a letter, maybe certified, to your lender and say, send me a copy of my note. I don't have one. I'd like one for my records just to see if they have it or not.
I don't know. I've never heard of such. I've never tried. I don't know. You need to talk to an attorney.
A real estate attorney.
You need to talk to a real estate attorney in your state. But I think, you know, there was so much fraud in this market, whether it was in the failure to properly disclose on origination, the predatory lending practices, or now the inability to produce the note. I think once the American people dig in and really start to fight this stuff, as a legal matter, a great deal of the you know, mortgages are not, we're not fully liable for them. The problem, of course, is a lot of these mortgages are in pools that have been sold to our pension funds. So to a certain respect, when we default on, quote unquote, the banks, we're not defaulting on the banks, we're defaulting on ourselves.
Well, now, let me ask you. Let's say you applied for a mortgage through one of these big banks, okay?
Correct.
Well, you know them all.
Right.
And you get your mortgage through this big bank. This big bank then what? Turns around and sells that loan, right?
And puts that loan in a pool of loans.
Okay.
And then sells
that package. Pool. All right. Now you still make your mortgage payment to that bank. They
send
you
statement. Bank continues to be the servicer, because remember, they offer
and they get a fee for that, right?
So you make it to that bank unless they sell the servicing. So your mortgage can go to one place, and then your servicing can go to another.
But the chances are that big bank you got your mortgage with doesn't even own that mortgage anymore.
Oh, they don't.
Okay. But when they foreclose, it's that bank that comes after you.
Yes.
Not all those people that bought these loans.
Right. It's their servicer.
So, all right. And so what a judge is saying then is, wait a minute, you can't go. It's like if I lent you money, but Tom is suing you for the money. He can't. He doesn't have anything to do with you,
they're acting on behalf. They have the authority to act on behalf of the pool.
All right.
Because they're the servicer for the pool.
Okay.
And so it's just like, you know, if you rent an apartment from someone, they have a property manager.
So the big issue is do they physically have possession of that note you signed at closing?
Under most state laws, they have to produce the note. They have to prove that they really own the note. And so they have to produce it. And, of course, they can't find it.
They sold it, right?
Or they can't find it. Or, you know, there's
well, what if they go back to the title company you closed at 10 years ago, let's say, and say, hey, can you send us a copy of George's note or Catherine's note?
I think, George, they have to produce the note. And it's really a
the
matter
original
of state law. So, and it's
how
also,
bizarre.
You know, there are issues that relate, you know.
Judges are actually saying, you folks own the house free and clear. You don't have to pay anything anymore.
There was one case in New York where a judge just was so frustrated with the behavior of the
lender.
Of the lender that they just said, you know, it's your house. That's, you know, you're excused. It's your house.
Bizarre.
Well, you know, as more and more comes out, what we've been watching, it's been very exciting for the last 2 weeks, because there's a whole series of news stories that are building on Wall Street, George.
Mm-hmm.
And what those stories are slowly teaching people is how fraudulent this whole wave. Let me give you some wonderful examples. You're familiar with the AIG bailout that in essence was a gift to Goldman Sachs and some of the other banks.
And that was the first of the wave.
Right. Now, we saw the chairman of Goldman Sachs just testify in Congress, and we've had, you know, the story from the Treasury and from Geithner, who then was the president of he was president of the Fed and then the Treasury. You know, he's saying, oh, well, I offered Goldman Sachs less than 100% on the dollar, but for a variety of reasons, they refused to take it. We've now had the Goldman CEO say, oh, well, I never got offered that deal. Now, this is because somebody has to be lying, right? They can't both be telling the truth. So you have someone, whether it's the Secretary of the Treasury or the Goldman Sachs chairman, basically guilty of obstruction of justice.